Hello, this is Joe Kimenez's web editor of IT World Canada, welcoming you to another edition of Voices. Our guest today is Mark Grossi, Chief Technology Officer at NCR's Advanced Concepts Lab in Dundee, Scotland. Over the years, Mark has functioned as the innovator par excellence, bringing forward several key technologies, including mobile and voice-activated ATMs, iris scanning and identification, alternative power supplies that can be used in remote locations, and much, much more. Mark was in Toronto last week, demonstrating the use of fingerprint biometrics in self-service ATMs at the RBC Innovation Symposium held in the city. In this exclusive interview with IT World Canada, Mark describes his challenges and opportunities as an inventor and some of the really cool technologies that he and his team have brought forward in the recent years. Mark, perhaps we could start with your telling us a bit about the NCR Advanced Concepts Lab in Dundee, Scotland. How large is this facility? How many dedicated R&D staff it has? Do you have multiple research teams at the lab? And so on and so forth.
Okay, yeah, I can certainly describe that. In Dundee, in what we call R&D, we have about 400 development engineers, mainly mechanical engineering skills, electrical, electronic, and software. And that percentage is growing in terms of number of software engineers as we go through the evolution of the ATM. So it's quite a significant investment in R&D. And on top of that, we have other centres in different parts of the world. For example, in India, we have a software centre growing, and I think it's about 110 software engineers right now. But within the establishment in Dundee, we have the research lab. This is the futures lab, which is my area of responsibility. And we look just a little bit further into the future than the regular development guys. The regular development folk are putting together ATMs for, say, the next 18 months, that kind of time frame. Mm-hmm. My responsibility is to look 3 to 5 years into the future.
I'd like to kind of shift tracks a bit and get you to tell us more about your own career path. So how long have you been with NCR, Mark, and has your focus always been on new and innovative technologies?
I'm going to have to give my age away now. Yeah, I graduated in 79 at Dundee University and joined NCR that summer as an electronics designer. And as part of NCR's ongoing education, then I retrained as a software programmer and then as a systems engineer. I was one of the main engineers in what we call the third generation of ATMs during the 80s. My area of expertise was in communications, so I wrote the protocols and built the hardware for the ATMs to connect into the different communications environments such as SNA, SDLC, and then towards the end, TCP beginning to emerge. So that was kind of through the 80s. As we went into the 90s, I was asked to be NCR's representative at Bell Labs when we merged with AT&T. And that was an interesting 5 years or so, because it really opened my eyes towards how to do advanced development, how to do research, how to drive a patent process. The most exciting one at that time was video conferencing, mm-hmm. which was just beginning to emerge. We built video conferencing and ISDN together and created the world's first ATM where you could video conference to the bank manager. When we were split out from Bell Labs, then I set about creating our own mini version of Bell Labs, if you like.
The way that you've described your role, it seems to me that you have to combine kind of two areas of expertise. One is R&D, but the other is a more practical marketing aspect. And I believe that one of your specialties, introducing emerging technologies into the commercial marketplace, and that you formalized a methodology for that. Mm-hmm. So can you cite an example to illustrate some of the common challenges that would be encountered when commercializing a new technology, and give me a sense of how you've dealt with these challenges?
We started working on something called deposit technology about 5 years ago, which was to allow us to take banknotes and deposit them into the machine without any envelope. Now that required imaging technology and media handling technology. The barriers to entry were very much around that technology at the time, because things like note recognition, not just static note recognition, but how do you keep the note recognition up to speed with the rate of change of fraudulent notes? So putting all that process together, that technology together, was a big challenge. But the biggest challenge of all, and it still is a challenge, is getting consumers to adopt the technology and use the technology. And that's going to be the pacing element for that technology to actually get to market. It's education of consumers.
I'd like you to talk about some specific technologies that you and other folk in NCR have demoed right here in Toronto in previous years, and you know what's happened to these inventions, many of which seemed really cool at the time. For example, at the RBC Innovation Symposium in 2003, I believe, you demonstrated Avatar. So tell us about this technology and whether it can be used as a complementary solution to fingerprint biometrics that you demonstrated at this year's RBC Symposium.
It's a complementary technology. I think you can combine the technologies and provide some kind of solution. But in its own right, avatar technology will change the consumer interaction model. We were demonstrating its use on an ATM in a complex transaction and trying to create a more humanistic interface. As with all technology, it's going to evolve at different rates in different channels and different industries. The avatar technology has taken off big time in the mobile phone business right now, right across Europe and in Japan, where it's quite common now to have an avatar on your telephone. On the ATM, we've seen some interest, and specifically from India just now, where they don't have so much of a preconceived legacy in India with avatars. And again, this is a symptom of these technologies as they come to market. You'll see pockets of activity, and then it sparks and takes off, or it doesn't.
Now, in 2002, you all demonstrated mobile ATMs. I believe the unit was called HARP, Handy Access in Remote Places. Value proposition was that, you know, they could be quickly installed in special event locations, in remote locales, but table mountable, could be used in a freestanding frame. So what's happened to HARP? Did the idea ever take off? And are these units being used anywhere in the world?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one, actually, because when we initially demonstrated and created HARP, it was to fulfill some of these value props you just mentioned. The portability was a big deal, and the installability was the other big deal. What happened to HARP after 2002 is, again, it was India. We took it to India and created a portable ATM, which was a HARP type of unit. It was a slightly bigger ATM, but we put it in a van, and it was used to deliver cash around the outskirts of the major cities, and it grew a whole a new opportunity there.
Yesterday you demonstrated fingerprint biometrics, and I was reading an August 99 article about Stella and Bud, the voice activated ATMs that utilize iris scanning for security, and I believe you can carry on a two-way conversation. So two questions. One, was the technology for these also developed at the Advanced Concepts Lab at Dundee? And secondly, what's happened to iris scanning for self-service banking? You talked about fingerprint biometrics being adopted in Colombia and Chile. What about iris biometrics? Like, has this been adopted as well in any country?
Yes, 99. Doesn't seem that long ago. We built Bud and Stella to prove two things. One was iris technology was ready and was consumer acceptable. The other thing was the whole voice idea, which is wasn't so much biometrics, it was more about command and control and feedback. We actually brought Stella, I think it was Stella, to Toronto about that time and did some consumer research. And since then, we worked with the CSA and the ADA bodies to promote the idea of talking ATMs for the blind. There were all sorts of issues with the technology then, which have actually progressed. But the biggest issue was the human element, the privacy element of actually having a conversation in the open.
You raised an interesting point there, because you said that, well, sometimes the technology might be ready, but
people might not be ready, and that element has to be taken into consideration when commercializing a technology. So I'm kind of interested, you guys at the Advanced Concept Lab, you all probably come out with a lot of new inventions every year. What percentage of these do you succeed in commercializing?
Yeah, it's a great question. Typically in a blue sky environment, you'd be looking for 10 to 15%. But because we are in a fairly niche focused market, then the expectation from my group is something like 70% of what we look at should be commercializable. Yeah, because we are pretty focused into ATMs, so it's not blue sky research.
That seems a decent percentage. At the same time, it would mean that 30% doesn't get utilized. Now, would that be a source of concern to the researchers who kind of work on some of these projects and to NCR? Because I guess it involves an enormous amount of, you know, time and effort, and not to mention money that gets expended in these labs. So now you're trying to kind of up that number, and what are the strategies you are using to do that?
A major reason for my group existing is so we identify early what the failures will be. The worst thing you can do in an R&D organization is to go into a big development and spend a lot of time, effort and cost on something that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. So the process for us is we sit ahead of the development community. The idea there is we take risk out without expending too much cost and money. So if 30% of our ideas don't make it through the gate, then we've only expended a small percentage of what may have been expended if we'd gone into development. In terms of people's attachment to projects, it's kind of interesting because the people in my world become very emotionally attached because of their interest in particular areas. But it's my challenge then to make sure that if something doesn't come through, then we kill it off without demotivating or killing the people. And sometimes it's a challenge and sometimes it's easy.
Mark, one of your colleagues in NCR's Financial Solutions Division, Paul Race, had mentioned that NCR's strategy is first to look for consumer trends, then build a vision for the future based on those trends, and then create technology to fit that vision. So the starting point is not technology, it's an understanding of trends. That being the case, what in your view are key trends in the enterprise and consumer space today that are influencing the type of self-service technologies being developed?
Yeah, and he's absolutely right. And the trends, the top-level trends that we look at, we call them social trends. And I think what he's referring to are things like individuality, which is a big social trend right now. Mm-hmm. So there's a desire for individuality from people, but at the same time there's a whole mass production thing going on. So people want to be treated as individuals, but in a world where mass production is what gives you the cost point, mm-hmm. there's a feminization, I'm going to get myself into trouble here, mm-hmm. But in the Western world, there's a trend that we've picked up on. Something like 40% of CEOs in the US are women. Roughly about 90% of the household spend is directed by the women in the house. And some huge number, like 95% of choices of the family car are made by women. So there's this whole kind of feminization thing. What's the word? Time pressure trend that's going on also, where people are continuously more and more busy with less and less time to actually do things. So we're all about maximizing time. And when you add these things together, then they start to drive a behavior and an opportunity for self-service. And I'll give you a real hard example, is that you'll begin to see ATMs advertising products targeted specifically at you, because you want to be an individual, you want to be treated as an individual. In fact, it'll address you by your first name when you come to do your transaction, and it will give you an opportunity to buy a product which will be tailored to you. And you will buy it because you won't have time to go sit down in a branch and discuss these things.
Thanks for spending this time with us, Mark, and sharing your insights and ideas. Have a good trip back to Scotland, and we look forward to speaking with you again.